Sorry, am I?
Was your wife Italian? Your wife Italian?
Well, so I'm continuing just from yesterday, just to finish off, we've only got 2 minutes. The Chofetz Chaim says as follows. He says, yesterday we spoke about where you hear that a mashulach who's going around town is a crook. Yeah, he's a fake, and therefore, and people say, yeah, he's got money stashed away, and he's got more money than you have, and he's on benefits, and he's on this and that and the other, etc. So, and you believe him. And you believe the story, not him, you believe the story that's going around about him that he's a crook, and therefore as a result of that you stop giving him tzedakah. So when he comes around the shul, you turn your face away, you know he's a crook, and you don't give him. Says the Chofetz Chaim, we said yesterday that you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to be choishesh, but you're not allowed to treat him any differently from how you were treating him beforehand. And therefore, provided it doesn't do you any damage, it doesn't do you any harm, then you're not allowed to be mekabel, loshon hara, like that. Yeah, we spoke about the guy who was walking around with a crutch, and then he was seen running for a bus. Yeah, that's the story that went around. It was an ace, yeah. Says the Chofetz Chaim, what are you supposed to do if you've been over, and then you come to Shia, and you hear that you're not supposed to have believed him?
This guy is taking money from other people.
He is?
He's taking money from other people.
He's not. You've heard a rumour that he is. You've heard a rumour that he is. You don't know that he is. Right? And you're not allowed to be mekabelit. You're only allowed to protect yourself. Yeah? So, therefore, the Chofetz Chaim says, now you've got to do tshuva. Says the Chofetz Chaim, 3 things, they're pretty obvious, but think about it. Number one, you've got to try and strengthen yourself to say, I no longer believe the story. Right? That's number one. Number two, he should accept upon himself to be careful in the future, not to accept lashon hara. And thirdly, he should do vidui and tshuva in the normal way. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's very difficult.
Very believable.
What's very believable? The stories.
Man came into Rav Kulivan, and the Shammas called out, go away, you are on the march for Iran.
You're not allowed to say that.
To Iran.
Yeah.
Would you believe him?
There's a clip going around, but one of these two cards came to the door.
Start your day, the Torah, Northwest London. Friday, 4th of Kislev, 17th November, Rabbi Jeremy Golke, Shlita Tolbert. This we share the schools. Ashavuim v'achayolim, shiachshu levotahem, l'shalom b'mheiro, and sponsored the schools that possible. Shalai l'ver ne'u yoyen, v'akalo Esther Chana Bas Rochel shetich yeh. She is kule v'nos b'ayet nemo b'shor b'keshe shalkeim v'vinyan adei ad.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me back. It's always lovely to speak in the Torah way. I've chosen 4 or 5 ideas that I'd like to share with you. Hopefully we'll have time to get through all of them. Just different ideas on the parasha. Some may be familiar, some less familiar. The opening idea is from the opening psukim of this week's parsha. Ve'ela toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoedetes Yitzchak. These are the generations of Yitzchak. Vayhi Yitzchak ben Aboim Shana, he's 40 years old. Bekachtei es Rivka, when he gets married. Vayet ha Yitzchak l'Hashem. Sadly, they are barren. Sadly, they do not have children. And Yitzchak davens, he is 40 years old when he gets married. This is 20 years later. They're davening, and they're not answered until for another 20 years. When it says in the pasuk, "Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem lenoichach ishtoi," what exactly does lenoichach ishtoi mean? So Rashi explains, lenoichach means opposite. The pasuk says, "Lenoichach ishtoi ze oimed bezovizu umispalel vezu oimedes bezovizu mispaleles." So Yitzchok is standing in one corner, Rivka standing in the other corner. Noichach means opposite. The Rashbam, however, the grandson of Rashi, says that's not pshat in noichach. He says different pshat. He says noichach means bishvil. That means vayet ha Yitzchak l'Hashem lenoichach ishtoi. He's davening on behalf of. He's davening for his wife. The question, of course, is, well, what about himself? So says the Meshech Chachma, very interesting Meshech Chachma. Vayet HaYitzchak L'Neichach Ishtay Pirush Bishvil Ishtay, quoting the Rashba. Ki hu hoye botuach sheyir lozera. Yitzchak was confident that he would have children. Ukamesha Mashem Yisbarach L'Avram, because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given a promise to Avram Avinu, v'karosa es shemo Yitzchak, you'll have a child who will be called Yitzchak, v'hakimoisi es brisi itay lebris olam lezare acharov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told Avram, there'll be a covenant through you, through your son Yitzchak and his descendants. So clearly Yitzchak has had an assurance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will have children. Rak yitochen sheyered meish acheres. It could be that the mother of these children will be somebody else, won't be Rivka. Lochein, therefore, Yitzchok davened, his spalel, k'moish is the Medrash, like the Medrash says, she'kol ma'sheh yelid ye'eloi mitzadekes halos. That whichever children he would have, would he merit to have children through this lady, this tzadekes, this Rivka. So therefore, says the Meshech Chochma, but that's why, that's pshat v'yet ha'yitzchok l'Hashem, l'noichach ishtay, on behalf of his wife, because he wanted very much to have children through Rivka. He was confident about himself because of the assurance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he wanted Rivka to be the mother of these children. Now, and the Rabbi Yaakov Benda has two lovely Sfarim on Chumash, and he makes a very interesting observation. He says, you see from here, that the very establishment of Klal Yisrael is built on the tefillah of one Yid for another Yid. That the whole foundation of the Jewish people is built on a tefillah of Yitzchak for somebody else, for his wife Rivka. And that's really what it's all about. He quotes, I forget who, a certain Rosh Shiva who says, we said this morning in Davening, in the Halukos, beautiful words. Take a look at the third box on the page. Al tiftuchu, if you're listening online, you can email me j.golker@gmail.com, I'll send you the handout. Haluka halinavshes Hashem, al tiftuchu bin divin, we said this morning, don't put your trust in princes, b'ven odom l'sheinotru, and people who haven't got any salvation. Ashrei shel Yaakov be'ezroi, praiseworthy is he who in whose help is the God of Yaakov. Sivrei al Hashem Eloikov, his hope is in Hashem, his God. Oisem mishpot la'ashukim, he does mishpot to the downtrodden. Noisem lechem l'reivim, he gives bread to the hungry. Hashem matir asurim, he releases those who are held hostage. How pertinent now. Hashem pekeach ivrim, he opens the eyes of those who can't see. Hashem zokev kfifim, those who are bent over, he straightens up. Oyev tzadikim, Hashem shomer es gerim, yosem v'almono. Yoedet, he encourages the yosem, the almono. V'derech rishom yavis. Interestingly, we've got a whole range of human suffering over here. And yet, we're davening for everybody. Tefillah is always v'loshen rabim. It's always in the Lashon Rabbim. But the final response is Yimlech Hashem La'olam. That when we talk about the whole range of human suffering, we not hopefully not everyone is suffering from the entire range. But of course, in there lies that principle that we daven for another person, somebody else who is suffering from that. There's a lovely anecdote about Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, that one Rosh Hashanah, one of the boys in the Mir, came to the Rosh Shiva of Nosson Zvi and said to him, what should my focus be, my tefillah be in Rosh Hashanah? Should I be davening for Yerushalayim, for success in learning, for a whole list of possible things? And Rav Nosson Zvi, who of course we know had a debilitating Parkinson's disease, and his speech was very difficult for him, he just said two words in response. When the Bacha said, what should I be davening for? He just said, somebody else. Somebody else. Wow. Davening for somebody else. Astonishing. That's the Meshech Chachma anyway, L'noichach Ishtay. Now I can't mention this Pasuk, V'yet HaYitzchak Hashem L'noichach Ishtay, the Pasuk Ki Akari, without mentioning another Meshech Chachma. I may have mentioned this once before, but because you always get me on half term, so it's normally around Toldos and Vayetze. So listen to this Meshech Chachma, it's unbelievable. Take a look at the first box. V'yet HaYitzchak Hashem L'noichach Ishtay, that Yitzchak is davening L'noichach Ishtay, according to Rashi, opposite according to Rashbam, on behalf of, Kiakarohi, that she is barren, she can't have children. Unusually, the word he, Kiakarohi, look how it's spelt, hey, vav, aleph. Normally you spell the word he, hey, yud, aleph. So the Meshech Chochma is troubled. Why is it written here, hey, vav, aleph? Says the Meshech Chochma. But vav, kosov, it's written with the vav. Yeah, I'm in the paragraph number two. Valsat haremez, says the Meshech Chochma, this is alluding to something. Now we know Rivka, hey, there's some specialists here, that the Rivka was 3 years old when she got married. Remember that Yitzchok was 37 at the Akedah. 3 years later, he was told after the Akedah that Rivka had just been born. He gets married at 40, so Rashi does the Cheshbon, she's 3 years old. Okay. Then now, 20 years later, Yitzchok becomes a father when he's 60. So how old is Rivka when she becomes a mother? She's 23. They wait 20 years, she gets married at 3, she's 23 years old. Now, says the Meshech Chochma, Hari Hoysa Bas Chofke Moshona Kishayolda, because if Yitzchok was 60, he gets married when he's 40, they were married 20 years, she's 3 when she gets married, she's 23. Now, says the Meshech Chochma, there's a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos says that for the first 11 years of a woman's life, she's too young to have children. Biologically, she's not able to have children. So how many years was she actually barren for? 23 minus 11, 12. The gematria of he, hey, vov, aleph, 5 and 6 and 1 is 12. So kiakoro he, she was barren for he, for 12 years. Says the Meshech Chochma, for imkein lo yisakor rak yud beis shonim, she was barren for a total of 12 years. He, with a vov, is gematria yud beis. Amazing. So that's why the pasuk spells it without a yud, it spells it in this unusual way. Okay, let's move on. The parsha continues. The main centerpiece of the parsha is, of course, the brachas. Yeah, the parsha of the brachas where Yaakov goes in, is instructed by his mother that he has to go in and get the brachas. Chazal tell us that the future of the Jewish people depends on him getting the brachas. If the brachas go to Esav, we're in trouble. So what happens? Rivka tells Yaakov that he's got to go and get the brachas, and he dresses up as Esav. So says the pasuk Vatika in paragraph 3, Vatikach Rivka is big de Esav bina hagodl. She goes into the cupboard, and she gets Esav's clothes. Big de hachamudos, the pasuk says. Hachamudos, asher ito babayis, vatalbesh es Yaakov bina hakotan. And she puts this jacket on Yaakov.
Is he allowed to do such a
thing? Okay, so the shaila is, what are these big day chamudos? Says Rashi. Nekios, that's the Targum. Dovache, shechomad oison min nimrod. That's what we're familiar with. Chamudos is from the Loshon of choymed, lo sachmo, don't cover, don't be jealous. And this is the jacket that Esav coveted from Nimrod. What was special about this jacket? What was famous about this jacket? Rashi says previously, that this was the hunting jacket. It was a magic jacket that you put it on for hunting, and somehow, magically, it's almost like sort of like a magnet, that the animal would sort of be very docile and walk towards you and stretch out its neck, and it made hunting a doddle, easy.
Why wasn't he wearing it when he was going
to? Oh! So where was Esau at this moment in time? When Rivka went in to get Esav's jacket, to give it to Yaakov to go in and to get the brachas and to pretend to be Esav, where was Esav at this moment? He was hunting. So the obvious question is, why wasn't Esav wearing this famous hunting jacket? If ever there was a time.
Because it's not much fun hunting if it's too easy.
You're on the right track, Mr. Bloom. Let me tell you the answer. The answer is, this question I first heard from Rabbi Hartman, it's an obvious question really. I heard it from, and he said his son, Moshe Yona, who was then 8 or 9 years old, asked him this question, and he gave the following answer. Let me preface the answer with Kedushas Levi from last week's parsha. It's an amazing Kedushas Levi. In last week's parsha, if you took a look at the top of the next page, we have the incident with Rivka at the well. She's being tested by Eliezer. Is she going to do chesed? So he davens, Takadosh Baruch Hu, please, send me a siman that the person, the future wife of Yitzchok, should be doing chesed. When I ask her to give me a drink, she'll give me, she'll give my camels. As soon as he finished talking, all of a sudden, all of a sudden this young girl appears. She goes down to the well, says Rashi, he got very excited. Why? Because he just literally finished saying this prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This young lady goes over to the well. The waters rise. A miracle happens to her. And Eliezer thinks, bingo, she's the one. Vayoritz, he starts running. Vatamai, Vatari Kadar, Ashokes, Vatoritz, Oedelabet, etc. And later the Pesukim, he has the conversation. Would you give me to drink? And she goes, on, you, I'll give your camels. And she starts drawing the water. Vatishov lechol gmalov. And she starts giving all the camels to drink. Says the Ramban on this Pasuk, when Rashi says that the Olu Hamayim Nikrosa, how did Rashi know? Where did it come from this? Says the Ramban, because Rashi is medayik, because the Pasuk says later in Pasuk Chof, I've got it at the top of the sheet, Vatishav Lechol Gmalov. Later it says she drew the water. First time around it says Vaterito, and she just went to the well. Vatamale Kado, why not Vatishav? You draw water from a well. Teretz is, says the Ramban, the first time round when she went to the well, the waters rose to greet her. Then later he asks her to do this chesed, shivatishov, she has to draw the water. That's what the Ramban says. But the Ramban concludes with a question. But FS defeat Varenu Tikshi Gufa, but the question is why? Why did the miracle happen first time round and not the second time round? Why did the miracle that the waters rose to meet her only happen when she first went to the well, and not later when she was doing the chesed? Says the Kedushas Levi, Geshmak Kedushas Levi. He says, "V'nir b'siyata d'shmaya." Says Reb Levi Yitzchok. To Amr Chachomenu Zal, the Gemara says, "M'sochim mitzvah shriches kavona." When you do a mitzvah, you got to put kavona into it. V'oikah b'mitzvah he hamachshava she'ase b'zeros nabere. It's the effort. It's the kavona. That's the ikka. Therefore, the first time round, when she went to the well, what was the purpose? She was going to the makolet to buy a pint of milk. So they don't need any. So therefore, a miracle happens. Later, she's going to the well to draw water, to give water to Eliezer and to the camels. That's a mitzvah. For mitzvah, I don't want shortcuts. I want to put the effort in. Lefum tzara agro, mitzvah srichas kavana. So the first time, I'll give you a moshel. Imagine, Motzei Shabbos, I go for a walk with my wife. We're going to catch up, busy Shabbos, we're going to catch up on the Motzei Shabbos. So I'm coming out of my house, we live in Woodlands, we're coming out of Woodlands, we're going to walk up to Golders Green station and back again. Fine, a 20-minute, half an hour walk. As I'm coming out of Woodlands, a neighbor pulls up, winds down the window. I have to explain to the boys when I say winds down what that means. Rabbi, would you like a lift? Yeah? Now, again, I have to explain to my boys what the correct response is in that situation. If I'm going for a walk with my wife, it's inappropriate to take a lift because the purpose of this walk is to spend time with my wife, to go for a walk. No, thank you. But if I was going to Golders Green Station in order to get a train to Euston, because I'm going to Manchester, and my neighbour says, would you like a lift? Then fine. Yeah, that would be very pleasant. Thank you very much. Because I shouldn't confuse the means and the end. The means of going to Golders Green Station to go to get a train to Manchester is just a means to an end. So if a guy gives me a lift, fine. But if the walk is an end in itself, then it's inappropriate. If drawing the water is the end in itself, then I'm doing the chesed for this person. I don't want shortcuts. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give me miracles. So I've got to... Rabbi Hartman told me, I think, I was once in Eretz Bereshit. I don't know if you've been there ever. That it's a place half an hour from Yerushalayim. For kids, it's fabulous. You go there and you have a camel ride and then you can bake like pita bread. So the fellow, when you go into there, well, you do different things. You can draw water from a well. How much does a camel drink? Right? And you got 10 camels. It worked out, and it's kind of long story short, she was there for 7 hours. Give or take, right? Can you imagine? And you've got this big strapping Eliezer Eved Avrom standing there. And you've got this young lady, backwards and forwards and drawing the water 7 hours, because that's the effort. It's lefum tzara agro. But the first time she goes to get the water, she's going to the makolet to buy a pint of milk. So therefore, it's appropriate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed for a tzadekes. That is the answer to our question. Why wasn't Esav wearing his hunting jacket? The Teretz is because he is the exemplar of kibud av ve'eim. He doesn't want to take shortcuts. He wants to put in the sweat. He wants the hunt, not necessarily for the enjoyment, but because he wants to do the mitzvah properly. And therefore, he doesn't want to take shortcuts. That's using this Kedushas Levi. I'll tell you an interesting thing that and you see this in I mentioned this before, but in Chassidus Sfarim, you see this a lot, the hachana for a mitzvah is in a way more important than the actual mitzvah itself. The Chiddush Arim says that the Nisuch HaMayim is called a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What's the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Because it's the celebration of drawing the water from the well to pour on the Mizbech. But the mitzvah is the Nisuch HaMayim.
But the
mitzvah is pouring the water on the Mizbeach. So it should be called the mitzvahs HaNisuch HaMayim. Why Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Simchas Beis HaNisuch, or whatever you want to call it? The answer is because the Chiddush Rebbe says that preparation for a mitzvah, in a way, is more important than the mitzvah itself. The hachana of the. That's why the Imre Emes says, very geschmack, that the Gemara says that Shiluach HaKan is called the mitzvah kala. Yeah, Rashi says, Shalech Tashalach Saim, he says, Leman Yitzav Lach Lerach Tayomim. So Rashi brings the mitzvah kala, Sheim Bo Chisor and Kis, for a mitzvah kala, which there's no Chisor and Kis, Shiluach HaKan, it doesn't cost you anything. Just shoo away the mother birds. If you get why is Shiluach HaKan called a mitzvah kala? Teretz is because the Gemara in Baba Tzia says ki kare lecha kansipar prat lemezuman. You chance upon it. You can't plan it. You can't prepare it. You know, there's a yeshiva in Hitchin, right? You want to go there because they have lots. It's in the forest. And they have lots of Shiluach HaKan there. You can go, but you can't plan one beforehand. You can't organize it because that's not Shiluach HaKan. It's prat lemezuman. Says the Imre Emes, that's why it's called a mitzvah kala. Because if there's no hachana for it, if there's no preparation for it, it's a mitzvah kala. It's a lightweight. Interesting. I'll tell you a maisa, which brings out the point. I may have said this before, but it's difficult to know how often you can repeat a story. You know, my good friend Moshe Levy, he said, I asked him, he goes, this is the rule. He says, a joke every 5 years, right? A story every 2 years. A Dvar Torah, the same shit. that's what he said. Anyway, so this is what he said about this story. This is a Pesach Kron story. There's a fellow, I remember when I was in school, I had a friend who in high school from his bar mitzvah for 5 years, he did not miss Tefillah B'Tzibur. Didn't miss a minyan, 5 years. But there was a fellow in Israel who was better. For 32 years, he did not miss a single Tefillah B'Tzibur. Until one night, when you're off schedule, he had a chasna, and he went to the chasna. Bekitzur, he comes home late at night, 2 o'clock in the morning after the chasna, he goes to bed, and suddenly as his head hits the pillow, Ma'ariv. His 32-year record is on the line. So he can't blow it now. So he jumps out of bed. He runs to the nearest shtiebel factory. By the time he gets there, it's 2:30 in the morning. He sees two people learning. He says, is there a minion still? He says, no, Shachar's not for another 2 hours, the first minion. He goes, Ma'ariv, finished. So he starts looking around. In short, he finds two other people who haven't yet done Ma'ariv. He's got three. Yeah, it's nearly 3 o'clock in the morning, he's in trouble. He has an Einfall. He calls up a local taxi company. He says, send me 7 taxis, only Jewish drivers. Right? They send 7 drivers. Where are we going? We're not going anywhere. Put your meters on. You're staying here. I need a minion for Ma'ariv. They came inside. He got his Ma'ariv. The greatest miracle of the story was that afterwards, not a single taxi driver charged him for the, but they were so impressed by him, not a single, he was willing to pay 7 taxes for the 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was. That's now, what's my point of mentioning this story? Because we all daven Ma'ariv last night, and this fellow daven Ma'ariv that night. Who gets more schar? It's all to do with the hachon you put in. It's all from Tzara Agra. And therefore, mitzvah shrichas kavonas, the more you put in, the more you get out. And that's why Esav, even Esav recognized that. That's why he wasn't wearing this hunting jacket, because he was doing kibbutz av, and therefore he wanted to put in the effort. Okay, let's press on. 2 more ideas. Paragraph 4. Vayome bo achicha b'mirma. So what happens? Yaakov gets the brachas, and then exits Yaakov. Esav comes in, and he hears the news that Yaakov's got the brachas. And Yitzchok says to him, bo achicha b'mirma, your brother came, b'mirma v'yikach b'rchosecha, and he took your brachas. Rashi says, what's b'mirma? Rashi says, b'chochma. Now, I must tell you, this Rashi all the years bothered me. Wherein lies the chochma? Where's the chochma? it was B'mirma. He was dressing up as Esav. What does Rashi mean, B'chochma? So I once came across an unbelievable pshat of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. There is a rule we know, we're familiar with, the Mishnah says in Pesachim, Ein maftir na chapesa chafikoymen. Rashi tells us in this week's Sedra that this whole story takes place on Seder night. Rashi says, Shnei gedi'im izim. There are two goats. Says Rashi, yeah, paragraph in the box number 4, V'chi shnei gedi'izim hoya macholosh al Yitzchak. He needed two goats to eat. That's a lot of meat. Ela'echot hikriv lepischei v'echot osa matamim. One was for the dish and one was his carbon Pesach. It was Seder night. There is a rule in Seder night, Ein maftir na chapesa chafikoymen. It comes out that this meal that they were preparing, the hunting, was the Korban Pesach. Ein maftin, you can't eat afterwards. The chachma was that when Yaakov came in and gave his father food, Yitzchak could eat of it and he couldn't eat afterwards. So even if Esav were to come afterwards and give him a delicious meal, Yitzchak couldn't touch it, he couldn't eat it. Ein maftir nacha Pesach afikoymen. Now, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the icing on the cake, and therein lies the Chochma, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the gematria of B'mirma is 287, which is the same gematria as Afikoymen. Bo achich B'mirma, he came with Mirma with the Afikoymen. It was 287. And that was the Chochma that Rashi is referring to, because Ein Maftir Nacha Pesach Afikoymen. Let me finish with one idea, very, very beautiful story and idea. Yilam Mesilas Hasharim. The first parak of Mesilas Hasharim tells us that this world. Sorry?
He did not say in the
parsha
that he ate
Esau's
food.
From Yaakov, it says, no? Vayechal? No?
Esau gave him, but did he eat it?
No. We'll have to check. According to this pshat, hopefully he doesn't say that. I think it says with Yaakov, no?
I'm not sure.
I think you're right.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll have to check. Okay. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Okay? I think it says with Yaakov, not with Esau. You didn't allow him. Okay. For sure not, yeah. Okay, so let me just finish with this. Mesilas Yesharim, Perek Aleph, says that Olam Hazeh is one long test. We are sort of tested many times every single day. We have to make more choices. We have got Bechira to make Toiv and Ra. That's well known. But more than that, sometimes the big Nisoyon comes our way. And if you think about it, 2 weeks ago in the parsha in Vayera, Avram Avinu is Hashem Niso Es Avram. That's his big test. The Akedah, according to most, is the 10th and final test. That's his big Nisoyim. Really, this is the test of Yaakov Avinu in this week's parsha. The Gemara in Makkah says, in the Chaftala, the last blat in Makkah says, V'lo rogel al-lashenoi, this is, he doesn't let slander speak from his tongue. That's Yaakov Avinu, and is referring to the episode in this week's parsha. This is his big test. Why? Because Titanemis Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is the embodiment of truth, and his nisoyon was to have to sort of be a little bit sort of untruthful, to pretend to be Esav. Fine, that's his nisoyon. That was his, I like to call it, his Akedah moment. Now, and that's really the pasuk. Titan emes Yaakov chesed la'avrom. They were tested in this particular area. Now, there was you're familiar perhaps, I saw a poster up outside, the excellent podcast Aubrey Hirsch has, History for the Curious. So he has excellent podcasts. And on the latest one, they interviewed Y.Y. Jacobson. So I listened to this interview, and he tells a story about someone called Menachem Mendel Futterfass. Right? Now, you may have heard of him. He was in London for some years. He's no longer alive. He died about 20 years ago. He was a character. He was a Chabad Chassid. He from Russia. He spent 8 years in the Gulag. He finally came out of Russia in 1963. He came here for a few years, and then he went to America, and then he went to Kfar Chabad in Israel. And he was a mashpia in the yeshiva there. And he would fabreng with the boys, and many times he would talk about his experiences in the Gulag, and draw some very interesting life lessons. He tells the following story. One time he was in the slave labor, he was working there, and because he was a rabbinic, he was Hasidic, he was a man of principle, he didn't eat treif, he didn't work Shabbos, He didn't eat chametz on Pesach. You know, people admired him. And he was there with Russian, you know, with Russian peasants. And, you know, he wasn't there with, it wasn't Kfar Chabad, right? And people would confide in him because they realized he was an honest man of principle. So one day a fellow, a Russian peasant, said to him, "I'm planning on breaking away tonight, on escaping from this place tonight." So Rav Futterfass said to him, "How can you escape? You've got guards here 24 hours. How can you escape?" So he said, "No, I've got a plan, because I've noticed when they change the shift, when the day guards go and the night guards come, there's a blind spot, there's 20 seconds, I can make a run for it, I can go." So Rav Futterfass said to him, "But the dogs, they've got these two wild dogs, they'll tear you to shreds." So he says, "No, I've got a plan. I've thought of that." So, okay. That evening, Remendel Futterfass is sort of watching with half an eye what's going to be with his friend. And sure enough, the guards change shift. And this guy runs like there's, you know, he runs at breakneck speed through the forest and takes a minute until they notice the bullets are too late to reach him, but the dogs can. And they unleash the dogs and the dogs run, tearing away to chase this fellow. As they get close to him, he's already quite deep into the forest, he takes this big chunk of meat. He managed to escape with a chunk of meat and he throws it down and suddenly the dogs stop and they start eating the meat and he continues running and he had arranged a rendezvous with the underground further away and he managed to get away. The dogs, 10 minutes later, come back to the camp with meat in between, you know, in between their teeth, and the head guard looks at the two dogs, sees the meat, understands what happens. He takes his gun out and he shoots both dogs dead. And Remendel Futterfass could understand it. Like, these dogs are expensive. They've been trained for years. Okay, they messed up today, but it's a strange reaction. Why did he kill the dogs? A few weeks later, he had the opportunity. You can't ask the guard this. But a few weeks later, the guard had a few drinks and he was in good spirits and he thought, now's my time. So Rav Futterfass went over to him and says, "You remember a few weeks ago the incident where that guy escaped and the dogs? Yeah. Why did you kill the dogs?" So this is what the guard said to him. He said, "You don't understand. These dogs have been trained for years for this moment, for a prison break, that they've got to run after an escapee. If they are distracted by a piece of meat at this moment in time, they're a waste of time. They're of no value to us. That's why I shot them." Says Remendel to the Bachur in the yeshiva, "Life is one big training school for our big nisoyen. So we have daily nisoyenus the whole time, but sometimes we get a bigger nisoyen. In a way, life is a training ground for that nisoyen. When the big nisoyen comes, don't be distracted by a piece of meat or anything else that will help you fail in fulfilling your mission." That was his lesson to the boys. Very powerful lesson. So anyway, five ideas that we've got today. Va'teyeta Yitzchak le'noichach ishto le'noichach, opposite, on behalf of, says the Meshech Chochma, the establishment of Klal Yisrael is through the tefillah of one yid for another yid. And that's why we daven berabim. That's that kapitel in Halukah in Pesukei Dezimra. The whole range of human suffering that we refer to. And Yimlech Hashem le'olam, we daven for each other in our Pesukei Dezimra. As Rav Nosson Svi said, that what do we daven for in Rosh Hashanah? Someone else. Rivka is barren, ki akara he, spelt with a vav. Why? But to allude to the fact that she was actually barren for 12 years. The means in the end, why wasn't Esav wearing the hunting jacket? The answer is because lefum tzara agra. Even Esav recognized it all has to do with effort, as per Rivka in the previous week's parasha. The water comes up to greet her when it's not the mitzvah. She's just buying milk from the makolet. But when she's actually doing the mitzvah, then it's vatishav lechol gemalov. That's why the Chidush Yarim says that Simchas Beis HaShoeva is not Simchas Nisuch HaMayim, because it's the Shoeva, it's the drawing of the water, which is the effort. That's the Ikka. And that's why the Imre Ema says the Mitzvah Kala, that Shiluach HaKan is called the Mitzvah Kala, because Prat LeMezumen, you can't prepare, hasn't got the Hakoma. It says, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonfrat, Bo Achicha B'mirma, Rashi says B'chochma, wherein lies the Chochma? Teretz is because it was Ein Maftirna HaPesach Afikoyman, and B'mirma is Gematria 287, which is Afikoyman, and the final idea of Mendel Futterfass, that this was the big Nisoyen of Yaakov Avinu, and when the big Nisoyen comes, we should not get distracted even by a big chunk of meat. Have a good Shabbos. This is for any time. Yeah, what does it say?
Nothing.
Ah, you're saying?
No, he's going to say something. Quick.
Sorry.
No problem. Okay. So they haven't spoken on the by the list on the pusik Tichenu Einov Mere Ois. That Yitzchok Avinu, when he came to the time when he was getting older, his eyes dimmed. And the Rashi brings three pshutim. Why this happened? One pshat Rashi brings because he had this Oivdavoy Dezur in his house, these two shiksas who were there lighting up incense. Another reason Rashi brings was because that the Yaakov was able to take the bruchas if Yitzchak couldn't see very, very clearly. And the third reason the Rashi says is a famous medrash that the Maluchim at the Akaide were weeping and were seeing how looks like the demise of the whole Jewish race is going to happen right now. And as a result, they were crying because what's going to happen to the promise of Kibi Yitzchak Kikur L'Chuzura? And then the question is brought by others that it's a very, very strange phenomenon that they were both tzaddikim. Yitzchak was a tzaddik and Rivka was a tzaddikus, as we know, and Yitzchak was blinded by all these various different reasons, but Rivka somehow was unaffected. How could it be? So, there's one answer which is the Lubavitcher Rebbe brings there, that the two answers of Rashi go hand in hand, which means that the fact that Yitzchak saw this mara on the Akaida at the time that he was being sacrificed is affected him, that the Kedisha that happened at that moment was so profound that it sensitized his eyes to an extent that the smoke from the Avodah Zarah blinded him. Whereas Rivka didn't have this experience, so therefore the two Pshutim and Rashi go hand in hand. The reason that the smoke of the two daughters-in-law of Yitzchak affected was because that Yitzchak was on the Akaida, and therefore Vatichenu Einov Mirois, only his eyes. But then there again, there's another reason, because Rivka was actually witness to Avodah Zarah. She grew up in a house of Basil, and she grew up in a house of Luvon, where V'noichi Penisi Habai is Avodah Zarah, last week said it. So therefore, that was a given, that this was the staple of the house that they used to serve idol worship. And therefore she was unaffected because she was used to it. He grew up in the house of Avrum Avinu. It was completely strange to him. How could it possibly be, you know, therefore the smoke affected him. Now if you work out the ratio of the years, it's also very remarkable because essentially Rivka was 3 years old when she left the house of Yitzchak, of Avraham Avinu, of Basir. And she was 20 because she was an Akuro for many years. And then 23 at the point that they were davening for children. Another 40 years had elapsed because Isaac had gefied with the Tata, Gata Masoira, that although he stole other men's wives away from them, he only married after 40 years because the Tatat Chazagifir. And therefore, this Messiah was very important. If you add those 40 years to the 23, it means that Rivka was 63 years of age. In fact, Rashi brings it clearly. 63 years of age, 60 years in the company of Avraham's household, her father in law, Yitzchak, the husband, Oile Tamime, in an atmosphere of Kedisha, Tahara, and 3 years of having experienced idol worship, it's about 95% to 5% in the ratio. And the outcome was that he was affected with blindness and she was unaffected by blindness. So the limit is moiridik. That means that what children are exposed to at the youngest possible age can affect them to such an extent that even 60 years later they are still suffering from the effects of what they might have experienced and seen when they were very, very young. This is eine Ure. Das ist eine Sache. Then, nice after that, you got, you know, there's a nice vote about Bizui, that there's a Balatiram, I think, which mentions there, it says, Vayivas Esav Sabachoro, it says, the Vayoichal Vayayish, Vayukam Vayaylach, the Torah is not a storybook. I will tell you all these details. Ate, he drank, and he went, he got up, and he's... Why do you mention all this? It's rhetorical on the face of it. But then you've got Rashi says, Hayid Ulov Hakusif, that he was Mevazah the Bechorah. You need Eidus here? Is it the court of law that you need testimony that he did? Clearly, he went there, he sold his Bechorah for a loaf of bread and some beans. And so what? Now, there is here a Balatirim which says that this Boz, this Vayivez, is very, very associated with another bloke called Humon. And he also has there, because Vayivez be'einov l'shloach yod b'mordechai ha'yehidi, and therefore he devised a very, very good plan. Why would he go about having a personal feud with some Satmachusid in Bethune Road and fighting with him? Let's make it a national issue. And we're going to destroy, and we're going to, how the Germans used to do it, they never had annihilation or decimation or murder. It was always solving the Jewish problem. They always resettled people when they put them into gas chambers. And this was quite normal because there's always euphemisms attached to all these activities, because people who have, or the progenitors of Beethoven and Wagner and cultured people like this don't do things like create a massive murder machine. Skeitnisch. And Homon, who was the Zaide, he also thought the same thing. You know, you don't have a personal feud with Mordechai. It's Pastnish. I'm still prime minister. So we do it like this. But don't misunderstand it. It's very, very clear. I want to get Mordechai. I want to get the Jews too. But we can't do it quite like that. So let's do it on a national level with the philosophy that's attached to it. Read Mein Kampf. That's with a Dyer. It's not because he's a murderer, but he's got a Mahalach. So now, you could also explain him as well. Esav is sitting there, and he's sitting with his waistcoat and his napkin and his knife and his fork, and he's indulging in this meal. And it's very, very clear that's the reason why he's doing it. Just, we made the barter, you sold me the bechorah, I got the beans, and beans means Heinz or Esav, whatever you want to call him, Edom. And the bottom line is that you should know, don't be disillusioned. There is nothing here which is just Vayivez, Vayivez, Boz, Bain, Boz. This Esav is the progenitor, he's the Zayde of Amulek, he's a Zayde of Homon, and this Bezoyan was attached to somebody who wanted to be Mevazah the Bechore. It wasn't just a plain thing, he had nothing to do with it. I don't care, not for Yaakov, not for the Bechore, not for the Rebbein Shloilom, and that's the reason I'm rejecting all this. I might come to Vayukom, Vayelech, Vayoychal, Vayayish. It looks on the face of it as it's all hunky-dory. It's very, very gentlemanly. But beneath this is a sinister Vayivez, Esav es HaBechore, Boz ben Boz. And that's the Homon. And that's it. Okay. Shkoyer, thank you, chaps.
Hallo, wir haben schon in unserem Kirchenspruch gesagt, weil es ist so, Wir haben die Kirchenspruch gesagt, Spavis Mammy is not Savius Adovius Alevis Alos Medicucho, Berico, and Omicron before Sovish or Sotis Brosomene, Mosodamir, be all Movin Ruamain, and you saw Varabonamatamade and Vacondamir, Samade, Vacomando Oskin Barso, Divaso, David Divacola Sabasar, and Hanukhan Shomarabo, Hinukhis Rach, maybe Hai Rikhims and Rikh for Kono, because my friend is my Viaro, be Ruamain, Eish Domarabo, Mishama, Yob, Hayim Toy, and Molay, and Vacoli, so every Ruamain.
Yeah, that way around. Right on. Okay.